this hour by heading into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Jonathan Pinton. He is the founder and editor of the online journal Unlikely Stories. Many of our listeners, Jonathan, may remember you were here not too long ago talking about 100,000 Poets for Change.
I was, and thanks for having me back.
Well, it was a pleasure to have y'all talk about that, and it was a great pleasure to be there and see how much energy is going into poetry these days in our community.
Oh, yeah, we had an enormous amount of fun. It was on Saturday, the 29th of September, there at Sate. We had a great time. That's such a great room for it. You know, when we had a number of different things going on, we had little playlets, we had some dance, and we had lots of poetry and lots of spoken word, some music, the Zigzag Wanderers and Delta Papa. And we just made it into a fun evening when, you know, we kept the door to the cafe opening and we had Brandon Broussard there serving beans and rice, you know, and we just had people wandering in and out and having a lot of fun, like an event happening rather than just some kind of sit down formal show to listen to poetry.
Right.
Especially since it was 4 hours long, you know, I mean, that would have been a little ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I feel like I know a bit about poetry around here, but I was just enthralled by the variety and the number of people writing poetry, speaking poetry, performing poetry. It was just astonishing, and it was a great event to have. So you are the editor of a literary journal. People submit written pieces online.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about your next issue coming up. But you have also gotten very involved in some community workshops that you have started along with Jessica, who helped you with 100,000 Poets for Change, starting these workshops to invite people who are interested in writing. They don't need to have studied it. They don't. It's kind of an open community workshop.
That's right. They're literary drafting workshops, meaning that we write first drafts rather than critiques. Now, what I've discovered, I was in a similar workshop in El Paso, Texas, Tumbleweeds Project, which had run for, you know, close to 15 years before I started attending regularly. So they really had their kinks worked out. It was a really smooth operation. And what we find is that in a literary drafting workshop where you come in, you write first drafts, you create a space where very experienced writers and complete novices can come in and write together. If this is your first time writing something and you want to write and you want to learn how to write, it's a very comfortable space where you don't have to be, you don't have to sit down, come in and be taught. You don't have to be nervous about, you know, what people are going to say about your works, because you're not supposed to heavily critique first drafts. I mean, we're coming up with ideas, and we're all coming up with ideas together. And what people do with those ideas are going to be very different, you know, not only skill level, but very different approaches. There will be poetry, fiction, you know, creative nonfiction, that sort of thing. And what we've also got going is we're having a different presenter each week, and that presenter is going to come in and bring a presentation. So the way it really works is you come in, the presenter comes in, presenter gives you some kind of prompt. The presenter might read to you. They might read their own work or someone else's. They might give a little lecture on writing, or they might bring in a completely different form of art. Actually, this week we're going to have a multimedia presentation. We could have music, you know, we could have visual art, anything that can inspire writing. And then from that inspiration, we all write drafts together and we read our drafts aloud. And that I find is a really great way to bring novices and experts together and bring completely different disparate writing styles, so we don't have to be like, that's not the sort of writing I like. It's not relevant. It's not that kind of group.
Okay, so this is not an exclusive writing group. You're hoping to be very inclusive.
Very much so.
You know, I always find it interesting when I'm speaking with writers, generally who haven't been writing for a very long time, to ask them about that first time when they really felt like they could write. What occurred? What happened? And it's often an experience like you're describing, where they find a mentor in a group, or they join a writing group, or some place where they can share, or some place where they feel like, I'm not the only one, and people react positively to my work. And it's fascinating how often I'll hear that from writers in this area. So excellent. You're offering this opportunity, and you know, not everyone has access. Some people, you know, are not in college, they're not in high school, these places where we normally think you would encounter creative writing classes, the opportunities there. But so many of us out in the community who feel, you know, I'd like to write, I'd like to express myself, just may not have easy access to such a course. So it sounds like you're really offering something that anyone in the community could go to, no matter what their level is.
Absolutely. And that was my experience, too. I didn't go to college. You know, I didn't have those kinds of connections. I didn't have that kind of networking. Because I was internet savvy and the internet was opening up, you know, I had other ways to make connections and friends. But then there's no replacement for actual face-to-face time with other writers, which, you know, anyone can get on the internet now and meet writers that way. But face-to-face time, I think, is really, really a unique experience. Maybe not a better experience, but one that's not replaceable.
Mm-hmm. Well, describe that, and I'm sure there's some listeners thinking, oh, I'd like to go to that, but I'm just mm-hmm. too nervous. I could never, ever read what I've written in front of other people. Allay their fears.
Well, first off, you don't have to, although we prefer everyone does, because, you know, what you'll really find is that when the first guy goes and the next guy goes and the third guy goes, it's a lot easier for you to come in and mm-hmm. read your own, mm-hmm. And it's really a non-judgmental atmosphere. I mean, if you've got a serious critique group with people on similar plans, then they do have to get a little rough with each other. That's not what we're doing. We're having a drafting workshop. We're discussing ideas. Then you can go home and revise it as much or as little as you like. So when we're discussing ideas, it really is a comfortable, safe environment. And, you know, one where you can freely learn from people who know more and one where you can freely learn from people who know less in a relaxed atmosphere.
If you are just tuning in, my guest is Jonathan Pinton, and we're talking about a new series of workshops that he's put together called Word Lab. I believe that's the mm-hmm. name you have.
Acadiana Word Lab.
Acadiana Word Lab. How often are these workshops held?
They are every Saturday at Satay at 2 p.m.
Okay. Now, Jessica did one. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Oh, it went great. We had, that was our first one. We had a little group together. You know, we met some new people, hung out with Kenneth Waters in Brobridge, who I met for the first time at 100,000 Poets for Change. That was a lot of fun, great writer. And let's see, we saw Emily Thibodeau, who's going to do a workshop in December. And yeah, it felt like a strong start.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I find interesting about Acadiana Word Lab, in addition mm-hmm. to the fact that it's an open community workshop, mm-hmm. you're inviting very different kinds of writers mm-hmm. to present for these workshops. And that's really a wonderful way to encounter the different writers in our community and perhaps get a sense of your own style, I guess, or to discover other styles that you could perhaps benefit from.
Absolutely. And the first one, we actually had a discussion about what is spoken word. You know, we had a recent grad student there, and we just talked about spoken word isn't often taught on campuses, and we had a good discussion. And Jessica Bordelon, she was running the workshop, and we told her about sound poetry, such as Christian books. She wasn't familiar with that. You know, the grad student introduced her to that, and we had a cross pollination of some of these art forms, some of these writing art forms that get excluded from each other's world. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the format of the workshop is such that you don't have to be a writer to present. You can be any kind of artist. I mean, it's fine to come in and play your CD. It's fine to come in and show your visual art, so long as you're willing to write with us. I think mm-hmm. that's very important mm-hmm. for the presenter to write with us. You know, that's any kind of art can start as a good prompt.
Hmm. So you don't have to go with the goal of becoming a writer in any formal career way.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. No, this is not a careerist enterprise. You know, I mean, I take my career seriously, yes. and I'm there. But, you know, at the same time, there's it's a very relaxed atmosphere.
Right. And perhaps, I mean, I can imagine when you say that artists could go, there's so mm-hmm. many in our community. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see artists try and describe their work, mm-hmm. to write about it, talk about it. A wonderful exercise, a wonderful way for them to participate kind of with the literary world, but to gain a deeper understanding of their own art.
Absolutely. I think it's a fun thing for artists and singers, musicians to do, you know, if they're wanting to play around with writing a little, you know, if they're committed to their own art form, but would like to experience the written word some, this is a great workshop for that. And I mean, you know, visual art especially, criticism is a very important part of a visual artist's career, so it's helpful to, you know, get a little more familiar with a written word in mm-hmm. any case.
Absolutely, and there's all those artist statements to write.
There are. Pages and pages.
Pages of them, absolutely.
And sometimes those could be better written, you know? I mean, yeah. It's everyone can stand to
yes,
polish up on that.
Yes, to polish up your own story and your own statement. Yeah. Really great reason to go to the Acadiana Word Lab. Mm-hmm. So it's every week from 2 until 4?
That's right.
2 until 4 at Cité des Arts.
That's right.
Okay, and you mentioned Jessica. Mm-hmm. Who's coming up this Saturday?
Jerry Maguire. He teaches here at ULL. He's a fabulous kind of poet working in the post-beat milieu. You know, he looks really good on the page and performs really well in person. But he's not going to be reading his poetry. He's going to be bringing a multimedia presentation. We'll have the monitor and the speakers there, and we will set him up, and he'll be giving us multimedia prompts to do a little writing from there.
All right. Well, that should be very interesting. Now, it's free also.
It is.
Yes.
We ask that people bring a few bucks for the presenters. You know, mm-hmm. I pass the hat. We split the money between the presenter and Cité. And, you know, the presenter does spend time preparing their workshop. So, yeah, we pass a hat. You know, if you don't have anything to give, don't give. But, yeah, for those who do.
All right. At Cité, 2 o'clock this Saturday, all are invited. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in writing, if you're an artist, whatever reason you have to write, you're invited to go to the Acadiana Word Lab. I guess Jonathan Pinton has started it up along with Jessica, or how are y'all?
Sure, yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
She was the presenter last week. Jerry mm-hmm. Maguire is coming up. Who are some of your presenters afterwards?
Well, we've got Claire L. Martin, who just wrote Eating the Heart First, came out from Press 53, and she that's her new book. Let's see, Martha Reed, who teaches here at UL, will be doing a class. Emily Thibodeau, who just started teaching here at UL, will also be giving one. We've got the spoken word artist Alec Johnson, sometimes goes by the name Poetic Soul. She's worked with Project Sound, you know, worked with a lot of high schoolers and really experienced, just a fantastic spoken word artist, as well as really experienced in running workshops. Kelly Clayton's going to do one, and Lester E. Tisdale IV. And we've got on December the 8th, Patrice Melnick will be coming down. You know, she runs the Festival of Words and the Casa Azul reading series right up there in Gran Coteau.
Mm-hmm. What a fabulous lineup of teachers and presenters that you have coming. Many of them very accomplished writers, have mm-hmm. been writing for a long time, but all very dedicated to that workshop style and helping people interested in writing. So very thoughtful lineup of people in this workshop series. Katie Anna Word Lab, if you're interested in finding out more, should they call Cité, or what's the best way to find out more about Acadiana Word Lab?
Well, the calendar is up at acadianawordlab.org. Mm-hmm. So that's you can sign up your email. You can join the email list there. You can see the calendar at any point. You can see what's coming up immediately. And yeah, that's the simplest way.
Okay, acadianawordlab.org mm-hmm. and find out the schedule of presenters. There is one coming up this Saturday at Cité starting at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to setting up 100,000 Poets for Change and this Acadiana Word Lab series, you're also still the editor of Unlikely Stories, and I believe you have a new online edition coming up.
I do, yeah. Unlikely Stories is a fun magazine. We do a lot of poetry and fiction and creative nonfiction, but we also do a lot of essays, a lot of socio-political essays, and we do visual art. Around in 2004, I've been running it since 1998, and in 2004, where broadband became pretty common, we started doing visual art, we started doing music, we started doing short films, all the kind of new media stuff that that the internet now presents to people. Started doing weird combinations of those things, and we do have a lot of political content. And like anyone who spends a lot of time looking at politics, and like a whole lot of people who don't spend a lot of time looking at politics, I am already sick to death of the U.S. elections. Mm. I am just over it.
Is that the theme of this?
the theme of this issue, it's called the interdependency issue. Mm-hmm. It will not have any American authors living in America. It will have American authors living abroad, and it will have authors from throughout the English-speaking world. It'll have some authors from India, and because the visual art's going to be, you know, I mean, from people that I've communicated with who don't speak English. We've got several people from Mexico and one from India who are going to be contributing visual art. We'll have sound art from Japan, Kenji Shiratori. David Bowie's a big fan of his. And we're going to have just the interdependence issue. It'll have no American content is the idea.
A little respite here.
Yeah, it's you know, and I get sick of myself too when I'm talking about politics. I mean, you know, we're tired of it. Oh, so
it's hard not to talk about what's all around us.
Right, it's hard not to talk about it. So this is a very deliberate, conscious effort to talk about something else.
All right. So when does this come out online? When does it appear?
It'll be Tuesday. We want it to, you know, be a Tuesday like Election Day. And it's currently slated for October the 23rd.
All right. And how do you get to the online site? What is the address?
It is unlikelystories.org.
Okay. Okay. And describe the, you described kind of the theme of this particular issue, but try to describe for us, again, those of us who really don't mm-hmm. go to online journals, perhaps, how would you describe the feeling of the work, the literary work primarily? How would you describe it?
Our watchword is transgressive. Mm-hmm. We are interested in rule breaking. Now, what rule you choose to break, we give people very wide latitude. You know, do you want to experiment with form? You want to experiment with poetic form? There are a lot of online journals who don't necessarily have the technology to present poetry that's presented in a complex form or art that's presented in complex form. We work really hard to keep the technical stuff going so that you can see some very complex and unusual forms there that an online journal that just thought of itself as a book or the predecessor to a book might not be properly doing. So that is one of the rules we break. And of course, the rule we're more commonly breaking is the social taboo rules. We talk about stuff that is controversial. We talk about stuff that is off the mainstream. In any given issue of Unlikely Stories, it would be fairly terrifying to have anyone think that we're doing it all in the editorial voice. It's all pretty far out there. You know, authors are saying things they don't mean. It's supposed to spark ideas, and we think we do a good job of sparking ideas through sometimes through neopulp and other bizarre assertions.
But I think you've introduced a lot of us here in the audience today to different ideas about literature, and that I guess the online journals have opened that up quite a bit, I would think.
Oh, definitely. You know, the age when you sat and waited for a journal to come, for your prescriptions to come, that was enormous fun. It was great fun to have them in the mail. But, you know, there's so much more we can do now, especially that money is not the impediment it is when you're trying to run a print journal. I mean, that's an expensive enterprise. But the online journal, even though we apply a lot of work for it, it doesn't cost us much, and we're able to do a lot of things that a print journal can't.
Right, and do some changes and editorial things much more quickly, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Now, you mentioned that you have some visual artists from other places in the mm-hmm. world. Do your contributors, your literary contributors, come from around the world generally?
They do. They tend to come from around the English-speaking world mm-hmm. And from India. We you know, especially when you're talking about poetry, poetry in a second language is something that very few people on this planet can do properly. But we do generally have a lot of political essays from people around the world, anywhere, since most anyone who's writing about politics these days can write in English.
All right. That's Unlikely Stories. My guest is Jonathan Pinton, who's the founder and editor of Unlikely Stories since
98.
Mm-hmm. And you have a new edition coming out next week, Tuesday the 23rd.
That's it.
Will be online at unlikelystories.org. A political respite. See some other perspectives around the world and see what else is going on visually, orally, and literarily. So very interesting. And Jonathan makes his home here now in Acadiana and has been working very hard to be involved in the literary world here, giving workshops, working with 100,000 Poets for Change, and really enriching all of us with his expertise and getting lots of people together, really working on collaborations. So we appreciate that, all of it. And do you have a website as well, or is it just on Unlikely Stories? Do you have
That's just unlikelystories.org and
right.
Yeah, the new acadianaweblab.org.
Okay, check those out, bookmark them, and find out more about what's going on in our community and around the world literarily. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thanks very much.